This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Adam Ragusea in for Anthony Brooks. The Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum is not known for being contemporary. In fact, many say that's part of its appeal. But the Boston Museum is in the middle of preparing for something really new and big.
This January, the museum will unveil a new building designed by Renzo Piano, which carries a price tag of over $100 million. And in order to prepare for the opening of the new building, Gardner director Ann Hawley said that this Tuesday, the museum will do something else new: close.
This is the first time we will have closed ever for an extended period of time. But frankly, it's very short in terms of museum construction programs. Most museums are closed for a year to 6 months, and fortunately, we're limiting that to just under 2 months.
The essential operation that you're doing here, and correct me if I'm wrong, the Renzo Piano edition you've been able to sort of work on without disturbing the palace to a great extent. What you're really doing at this point is knitting the two together, right?
Well, we're doing that, plus we're doing work in the back, restoring what was there originally, and that's taking some time to do. And we're doing some painting and reconfiguring. For example, we are making a gallery out of the old entrance space so that there will be always some project going on in there for the public. So there's a lot of tuning and painting and lighting installation that's going to be going on during this closed period.
So the next time that people come to the museum following the closure, they will come in through a whole new entrance, right?
Our visitors will come in from the Evansway Park and will come through a new entrance, and they will be able to do all kinds of things to get ready to go into the great collections that are in the palace. So, for example, the coat checks, the restaurant. There's a living room in the new building. But the museum really hasn't expanded, and I think that's important for everyone to know. We have offloaded all these functions that accrued in the historic building over the last 110 years.
To the new space, right?
That's correct.
And I can't talk to you about this without at least acknowledging the fact that there have been and still are a number of people passionately opposed to what you've been doing here on the basis that it could be interpreted as being inconsistent with Gardner's original vision for the museum, that you're essentially taking what should be this funky little time capsule of a museum and cracking it open. I'm curious, as you enter this final stage of the expansion process, are you as convinced as ever of the rightness of the course that you've taken?
Well, I am, Adam, because if we hadn't taken this course, the museum would have had to shrink radically its programs and services to the public. And I don't think it would have been sustainable. The museum had to make spaces to accommodate for modern uses and for essential functions that Gardner never saw, whether they were security functions or conservationists. And there was no space to do that without jeopardizing the palace. Of course, there are people who wanted it to stay the same, and I can understand that. Change is hard, and it's hard to embrace, particularly in a culture that's moving so fast. So I don't blame them for their, and I think that people have had constructive criticism about it. I hope that once we're open and people are using this space and can see how much enhanced the current galleries are and how much stress we've taken off these galleries, that they will see the rightness of the new building.
So what's the plan for the grand reopening?
Well, there are going to be several weeks of events, and on January 19th, we're going to open to the public, and we'll be free all day, and we're really looking forward to both having a real outpouring from the Boston community and our members, and particularly for the young people that we work with in the city.
Well, Ann Hawley, we'll see you and the new museum in 2012.
Yes, thank you so much.
That's Ann Hawley, director of the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum.
Well, when the new building opens in January, it will include a new state-of-the-art performance hall, so no more performances in the restored tapestry room.
The new space is called Calderwood Hall, and this week, after 5 years of planning and construction, the concert venue is undergoing acoustical testing. WBUR's Andrea Shea dropped in yesterday to hear how that sounds.
You might expect acoustician Yasu Toyoda to be plugged into all sorts of high-end, high-tech testing devices. But when he first assesses the sound of any space, he actually goes no-tech.
Like this. So this is a kind of tool. And so and then if we could have some actual music, we don't need this.
The Gardner Museum's resident chamber orchestra, a far cry, are here helping Toyota with the testing.
Actual hearing is more important rather than analyzing data, which is gathered from microphone. So we do those things and gathering those data, but still it's just our information only.
It's all about the ears, says Toyota, of the L.A.-based firm Nagata Acoustics. He does admit, though, that when he arrived for this milestone moment...
I was nervous a little bit, but it worked so well.
If Yazoo was nervous, triple that is how nervous I was.
Scott Nickrens is the museum's music director. For the past 5 years, he's been living and breathing plans for this unique 6,000-square-foot concert hall. And now, he says...
The concert hall found its voice.
Perhaps one of the most unexpected features of the Calderwood Hall is one that years ago practically came to Nickrens in a dream.
I woke up in the middle of the night, it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, suddenly realizing that this space should not have a stage.
Nickrens called his boss, Museum Director Ann Hawley, at 5:30 in the morning to share his epiphany.
And she was pretty irritated.
But open-minded to his kind of crazy idea, because she's a music lover too. What did acoustician Yasu Toyota think?
Crazy is very, very important.
Oh,
and
yes.
So on, and how we can be crazy.
Oh, we don't have to work at it.
It's shaped like a big cube. The ceiling is 42 feet high. Almost 300 seats fill three tiers of balconies that rise up to line all four walls. Those walls are covered in perforated wood paneling with hidden compartments that can be changed for each performance. Violinist Anne Rabat is one of the dozen or so musicians trying out the room. They shift around, seeing how the ensemble sounds in different configurations.
Whichever way we stand, it sounds great in here. We don't have to fight the hall, and so often that's the case, either to get the sound to project or to ring or to be clear.
Everyone is satisfied with how the hall sounds. Nickrens and Toyota say they don't have any plans to do much more than tinker with the space before its official debut in the new year. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Andrea Shea.
Thank you.